Welcome back. My name is Rob Rector, and we are on episode 16 of Natsukashi. With me, I have the one and only. This is where you give your cue
Jen
here.
Ellingsworth.
There we go, right
Jen
on cue.
Ellingsworth.
My
I feel
boss.
like I'm on a game show. I'm on a game show. Do you know, as an aside to that, we're talking about the show right now. A friend of mine told me this weekend Pee-wee Herman was actually a guest on the show at one point. He was a bachelor.
I knew Arnold Schwarzenegger was.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to see that. That's on YouTube or something. That would be just a vintage piece of goodness.
I wonder if he took her to the movie theaters.
Yeah, I don't know, Rob. Naughty, naughty.
Sorry. I couldn't help that one. Let's get into this. You were a young, impressionable child, and you were fixated on seeing a certain film featuring felines,
Yeah.
incest, bestiality, all the fun stuff that makes childhood great.
Tenets of adolescence.
Yes,
Yes,
yes.
I was being bad. I had to see Cat People.
I understand, I understand. I had to see it for completely different reasons, too. Mine being my childhood obsession with Nastasha Kinski. I know that I didn't get to see this until. I don't even know how long. I mean, I probably was of age when I finally got a chance to see it, but I know the closest thing I could get was, do you remember a film she was in called Unfaithfully Yours with Dudley Moore?
Yes.
I must have seen that
Yes, of course.
120 times. I had it on
She's
VHS.
like 4 feet taller than he is.
Yeah, I know, but God,
She's like a giant compared to him.
she was just so gorgeous, and there was just something about her, and it was something very feline about her.
Yeah.
Not to segue into
Yeah.
this, but she had this very kind of slinky way about her.
She's hot. She is very, very hot.
Yeah.
She, I think, was probably around the same time her and Kelly LeBrock were like contemporaries. They were sort of like the hot chicks in all the 80s movies. Throw in a little Tawny Kitaen for good measure, you know? You can never have too much
Poor, poor, poor,
of
poor Tawny. We've already documented her decline. We
that. Funny.
revisited Bachelor Party
Oh,
in a
yeah.
previous episode.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah. Good
poor
times.
Tawny. Nastasha, though, she just kind of vanished, and it's a shame. I know that she got derided a lot by critics for not having much screen presence, but I am a huge fan of Audrey Hepburn. And there was some look to her that just kind of reminded me of some Eastern Bloc Audrey Hepburn to her. I don't know if it was her neck or what, but there was just
Yeah.
something about her.
I think it's her eyes and her neck, and I mean, I just think she has just sort of like an elegant grace on screen. I mean, she
Yeah,
doesn't
the
even
way
have
she
to say
tears
anything,
people
you know? I
apart
mean,
and rips their flesh in the Cat People, there was an elegance
yeah.
to that. I agree. There was.
Not quite so much gore as I remember. I don't know if it's just that I'm jaded and attuned to it now, you know, just used to it. The blood and guts weren't as bad as I remember. Perhaps because I was only 13 when I saw it, but still.
Let's get into the plot for a second here.
She is a young woman who is found by her long-lost brother, Paul, who has since
Played
become
by Malcolm
a
McDowell.
reverend, Malcolm McDowell, yes. And he gives a pretty chilling performance.
Yeah, he's still got the same kind of creepiness that he had as Alex in Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He finds her, he brings her to him to live with him. And they're in New Orleans. And she's just, you know, kind of trying to find her way around, sightseeing or whatever. And he just immediately disappears. And she doesn't know where he goes. And turns out they come from a family of their parents were, I don't know exactly. That part I found a little confusing, quite honestly, about the whole the parents and the past and the opening segment where they chain her to the tree.
Yeah, they were descended from this ancient, I guess, sect where they are
Yeah.
descendants of both cats and humans, and it's an incestuous sect, obviously, because there's just not a lot of that going on in modern day Louisiana. Maybe there is. I haven't been there for a while, so I don't know.
If you want to get laid, you can do a lot better than that, believe me. I was just being friendly. I was not trying to get laid. Look, Occasionally they're compatible.
I wouldn't know. How come?
I just never met anybody I liked enough to have sex with.
Never?
Not so far, no.
Really? You're still a virgin?
Come on, don't make it sound so perverse.
Oh, no, no, not at all. It's just incomprehensible, maybe, especially these days.
Neither of them should have relations with anyone of the opposite sex besides their sibling because they want to kill them.
Having known that, I'd probably roll the dice if I knew that Nastasha Kinski would morph into some ravenous, flesh-tearing beast after having sex. I think it's a gamble that I'm still willing to take. You know, have some catnip by the side of the bed or something, and then, you know, make a mad dash afterwards. But it is a chance that I think I'm willing to give it the old college try for.
Yeah, you and many others, I'm sure. In the meantime, she befriends a zookeeper played by John Hurd, a young John Hurd, who's probably Nastasha Kinski, my counterpart.
Yeah, I wrote that down when I looked at it again, too, that I said, wow, he was really handsome. Not that he's not a handsome man now, but he's older and he's put on a few pounds since he's been in, most recently he's been in Sopranos and Home Alone. Mm-hmm. He was the dad. Mm-hmm. and Prison Break and Entourage.
Yeah, he is. And Nastasha Kinski and his character, sparks fly between them, but they can't. He wants to be with her. She rebuffs him because she doesn't want to kill him, you know, maul him, obviously, because now she knows where she came from, what the whole backstory is. But yeah, so they're very frustrated. I mean, John Hurd's very frustrated by this. In the meantime, her brother, he's trapped in his feline form. They have him in the zoo trapped, and she feels very bad about that because, of course, she knows the cat is her brother. They have this bond.
He threw up in the cage. Joe found pizza in the vomitus.
Yeah, sure did. Ooh, pepperoni. Leopards eat pizza. Well, the scavengers. He probably raided a garbage can before he went to the massage parlor.
Doesn't look like he went there out of hunger.
Maybe he was horny.
Always a possibility. Anything else?
Nothing. No worms, no distemper, no encephalitis. Whoever owns him takes good care of him.
Sure does. He's a superb cat.
A superb cat. He's a menace.
And the brother breaks out of the zoo and tries to then get with her and explains to her how they have to be together.
That was an awkward kind of scene.
They didn't really develop that very much.
I remember reading in a book called Easy Rider's Raging Bulls, and it's subtitled How Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll Generation Saved Hollywood. And it's all about these films of the directors of kind of the 70s era directors of Brian De Palma, Peter Bogdanovich, George Lucas, and the like. And the director of this film, Paul Schrader, there's a lengthy piece on this obsession that he had while filming with Nastasha Kinski. He shot some extra footage, if you catch my drift, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that he used to kind of blackmail Kinski with during the filming because he was on the borderline stalking. And if you look at some of the extras on the 20th anniversary DVD, he talks, just vaguely mentions that he had some sort of obsession during the filming of this. The film had this kind of erratic feel to it, almost like, you know, it would seem to be overpowered by his thoughts were elsewhere when filming this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it wasn't, not that there aren't some beautiful things in this film.
No, there are. I mean, I think it was really at the top of its game at the time, from the music, from the score of the movie. I mean, you get the cooler 80s guitar peals and vibes through that. And then also some bits of classical music, sort of like feline in its
own
nature.
And a shout out to David Bowie. I gotta say,
shout out to David Bowie. What a cool song that is.
I loved that song when it came out. That was such a great song. And the part that I love the most, after he sings Putting Out the Fire with Gasoline, then you hear this, and I love that part of it. I don't know why. That stuck out in my mind forever.
Wouldn't believe what I've been through. You've been so long.
Now, did Bowie, did he write that song specifically for
yes.
the movie?
Yes, he did.
That's
I know.
Cool.
Well, he is the thin white Duke.
Yes, he is. Also, I remember that it was very, you know, the violence. And I recalled the one scene that stood out was Ed Begley Jr., you know, sticking his hand in the bars, which is never a good idea in any zoo situation. When you've got a psychotic panther, he's already riled up. Stay away, you know, or at least wear a mitt of some sort. But yeah, he goes in for it and, you know, the panther rips his hand out of its socket, his arm. It was probably the most violent part of the movie, but yet still not as, I don't know, I think I'm just more...
You're jaded. You're jaded now.
Yeah, I think I need something new and different.
At 13, seeing this at 13, it had to have a profound... I mean, because it wasn't just one or the other. It wasn't like there was a gratuitous amount of mm-hmm. violence or a gratuitous amount of sex. It was a gratuitous everything. There's one scene in particular that I remember. Malcolm McDowell tries to satiate his urges, and he gets a hooker. Mm-hmm. And he goes up, and mm-hmm. she escapes. But when she escapes, she falls down the stairs, and she screams at the top of her lungs. And when she screams, it just so happens that her bra strap breaks at the same time her boobies come out. And it just seemed like it was just so superfluous. And I'm like, they did this just because this girl said she was going to show her boobs, and they had to work it in there somehow. So they had this, like, exploding bra strap.
Okay, if you're not going to get naked in the bedroom, you're going to get naked on the stairs.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it? You're splayed
exactly,
out for everybody.
Exactly.
We want to see some boobies. Yeah.
It was. It seemed to be very gratuitous.
Definitely. Yeah.
So at 13, this had to be...
Well, it was bad. I mean, it was very risque. It was very, very risky for me to do what I did and watch it. You know, like, I knew I wasn't allowed to see it. But I did anyway because it was cool, and my brother, like I said, he had a Beta, one of the first VCRs known to man, and we right. were the first family on our block that had one because he was a techno gadget head. And, you know, he left it unattended one day, and there was the tape, and one thing led to another. What can I say?
The question I had was, mm-hmm. did you watch this with your brother?
No.
Okay, okay. Because
nope.
That would have been really awkward, I would think.
Yeah.
After,
oh, God.
Afterwards.
Yeah. No way.
Okay.
Really bad.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
No. It was his tape, his machine. He was at work. Everybody was gone. Yeah, it was.
That would have been a quiet dinner the next evening, I would assume, after that.
It really would have. It was kind of like the time I took my mom to see Basic Instinct. Yeah. Wow. Awkward. Not a good idea.
I remember taking a platonic friend to go see that, and man, it was a really silent car ride home after. Because I'm sure she thought, okay, yeah, this guy really just wants to be friends, quote unquote. Yeah, okay.
Long ago, our ancestors sacrificed their children to the leopards. The souls of the children grew inside the leopards until the leopards became human. We were gods. We are an incestuous race. We can only make love with our own. Otherwise, we transform. And before we can become human again, we must kill.
You viewed it again after X amount of years. What are some of the things first that struck you as positive?
Positive?
Yes.
I would say the editing of the film. Just the whole backstory of her in the Serengeti or wherever they are, and the family, that whole thing, I just had forgotten all about that. And I think that was kind of cool. And then towards the end of the movie, they do another flashback where it sort of ties it all together, and it's a very dreamy-like sequence, and it's very beautiful cinematography. It's on the edge of cheesy, but I think now I'm able to appreciate that a little more. At some points, I probably fast-forwarded through that.
The cinematography, he had a real eye for earth tones in there, and there were these mm-hmm. deep, rich reds mm-hmm. and blues and greens. They just permeated every scene, and, mm-hmm. and that was the one thing that really stood out to me.
Yeah, Kinski, she really carried the movie. McDowell, I felt in some parts, was kind of flat. Maybe not flat, but overacted, taking
yeah.
the whole eccentric older brother to the limit.
And what was up with that jacket that he wore during that one scene where he stalks her in her bedroom with the collar turned up? That took the wind out of the sails for that scene He's supposed to be very maniacal and threatening, and here he's modeling this jacket that looks like it was borrowed from the Aha take on my video shoot.
Yeah, it did. It looked like the Aha smoker's jacket or whatever. Exactly. Yeah, I wondered about that too.
I've waited a long time for you.
Oh, don't you touch me!
But I'm the only one who can touch you. You're the only one who can touch me. Don't you see? We're safe together because we're the same.
Dane, I'm not like you!
Oh, yes, you are. You've always known it. Do you remember when you were a child, the animals used to call? And you knew in the dark when the others were dreaming, and you could never get to sleep. No. No, I'm not. I'm not in love. What will you do? Will you leap through his hoop?
Another thing I wondered about, too, is also their sort of ubiquitous housemaid they have live with them. She's like a New Orleans
Ruby D.
Yeah, Ruby D. I felt like they could have given her more lines or more of the script. You know, they could have developed that a little better too.
Famali keeps me out of trouble.
And that's a full-time job, honey. You better believe it. Famali, like Tamali, F-E-M-A-L-E. See, I was offering it too. You like this house? So they didn't know what name to put on the birth certificate. So they just put child, female. Now the woman that raised me, God rest her soul, she didn't read English too good, so she pronounced it Famali. So here I am, female.
I felt like she was there for a purpose. To tie it together, and she never really helped tie it together.
Yeah, she gets arrested halfway through, and you never really see her or hear from her again after that. There's this one brief scene where Nastasha Kinski visits her in jail, and it's a very brief interlude, and that's it. Ruby Dee's character's name's Famali, and she's, you know, she comes back briefly for that scene, and then we never see from her.
See her again, and that was like maybe midway through the movie. I mean, it was early.
And the other one who I wished I'd seen more is there's an early cameo from John Larroquette, Mr. Night Court.
Yeah, exactly.
And he plays this obsessive zoo manager, and he's giving John Hurt a tough time for when Malcolm McDowell in his black leopard form is taken into the zoo. He's giving him flack and kind of questioning. And it was kind of interesting. It was kind of an interesting peek into the inner workings of this zoo and gave it a little more depth. And then he, again, vanished too. And the third person who I really wish to see more of, not necessarily in the film, but just in general, is I really miss Annette O'Toole.
Yes.
And she's a beautiful woman. And, you know, you just don't see that much from her
these
days.
It's like maybe they only had her for one day to do X amount of scenes. But, definitely.
She's married to Michael McKean, you know, Lenny from Lenny and Squiggy.
Yeah.
And frequent collaborator with Christopher Guest. And she actually co-wrote that song, A Kiss at the End of the Rainbow, from A Mighty Wind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was Oscar nominated, actually.
That is cool.
And when the veil of dreams has lifted, and the fairy tales have all been told, there's a kiss at the end of the rainbow, more precious than a pot of gold.
My sweet.
I definitely had forgotten about the lushness, the opening scene, and how it's brought together toward the end. I thought that was really good.
Now let's get to what didn't really hold up so much for you.
Well, I think I had written in my little missive about this movie the part about somebody turning from human into cat and then back to human, and there being a bit of like the cat fur flesh left on the body.
Oh, yes.
Festival. That was just awful. That was so bad. In any, I don't, superfluous or not, there was no room for that. could have done a little better job with that.
I took it as a riff on, you know, how those awkward situations when you come home and you see a dog or a cat cleaning themselves.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I took that as.
Was, yeah.
You know, essentially just a hairball in an otherwise pretty sleek film. So.
Yeah, I think it was just, I mean, the special effects guys having a ball, you know, whatever on that certain day. Although I thought the cat,
no,
you know, the metamorphosis of the human Kinski turning into the cat was cool. I mean, that was pretty well done, again,
yeah,
for 85 or...
82.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well for me. And Ed Begley,
yeah,
Jr.'s role, unless they were just looking for some throwaway person to put in there whose arm could be ripped off.
Although he did have a wonderful singing voice.
Yes.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, ho, ho, ho. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat smell. Come on, fella, I gotta clean out the bunkers. Clean it out, be real nice. Move it. It's supposed to be in the back there. Back through the door, guy.
There were a few things. Some of it was merely just me being nitpicky, but others were even more legitimate. But the nitpicky was when John Hurd's character asks Nastasia Kinski out, and she says in character that she doesn't eat meat. And his first instinct is to take her out for oysters. Now, I'm no zoologist, but I'm pretty sure that oysters are a type of meat.
Pretty sure. And she continues to down quite a few of the oysters, if I remember that scene correctly.
Oh, yes, yes.
She's looking
quite
at him funny, but she's slurping it down.
Not only do we have these exploding on impact bra straps, not only do we have the second half of the movie where Nastasia Kinski's basically naked, but even when she's clothed in gauze-like,
right,
sweaters that are as transparent as wet bed sheets. And there's one scene in particular where she goes to the zoo for her first time with one of these macrame sweaters, and then the scene changes after she's apprehended by John Hurd's character.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing a different shirt altogether.
Oh,
and it was just
sad.
These little continuity things.
Now if I ever saw this movie again, which I really want to go back and see it even again, that would be something I would pick up.
And I think the only reason why that scene stuck out in my mind, probably because I really liked that macrame sweater that she was wearing because of how revealing it was, and I was a little bit ticked off when she's wearing this preppy polo shirt,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that wasn't quite as revealing.
Not quite as revealing.
What did they tell you about me?
Not much. I mean, I knew I had a brother, but I was only four. I used to fantasize about you when I was in the orphanage.
Fantasize?
Well, you know, about you coming to rescue me and things. Daydreams.
Yes, I had the same dreams.
That was one of the things that really still stuck out to me, and I'm really surprised that she got as much flack as she did for it, because
I am too.
She really did embrace those feral cat qualities.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, her eyes, the way she moved, she had this very kind of tigress feel to her.
She did a haircut. She had the right hair for the whole,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. She leapt off two-story buildings,
mm-hmm,
she climbed trees, she,
mm-hmm,
peed in a litter box.
Yeah, she did, like, milk in a bowl.
Exactly.
The signs were all there. She liked little baby rabbits.
What's not to love about this woman? And in real life, she's fluent in English, German, French, Italian, and Russian. So,
I know.
God.
I know. That's hot. I wonder why they never made a sequel to this movie.
Oh, don't even mention it. I'm afraid of who they'd get to star in that. I could just see Lindsay Lohan in Cat People 2 litter box. In total, after all these years and how dear it was to you back then because it was taboo.
Yeah.
What are your new memories of this now?
Well, I think I like it even better. I think it's like fine wine and it's aged well over time. It was a little more intellectual because you had to sort of imagine a little more in this movie than you would today. Today, it's more like how we can outdo one another. And I think with this, it was a little more book smart. It was a little more...
literary.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of that has to do with the director, Paul Schrader, who,
yeah,
is a writer and a director. I mean, he wrote probably two of the best films of the 70s and 80s, with Taxi Driver and Raging Bull. He's appreciative of the written word.
Yeah, and I think that shows Malcolm McDowell, like, he did a great job. The director was looking for someone gothic in nature to fill that spot, and I think that he worked out perfectly in that role.
I'm Paul.
I'm Irina.
Yes, I know. Welcome home.
He's someone who I think has been pigeonholed, unfortunately, later in life for some of his roles. He's been in Star Trek. He does a voice for a lot of animation, uh-huh. like Batman and Superman and such. And he is taking the role of the new Dr. Loomis in the Rob Zombie Halloween crap fest. And was also the new Mr. Rourke in the updated Fantasy Island series that was on briefly from Barry Sonnenfeld that tanked, but still he was kind of a more nefarious Dr. Mm-hmm. Rourke than Ricardo Montalban. Because of its more cerebral side to it, it holds up a little bit better because of its artistic integrity.
Yeah, I think so too. I was quite honestly expecting it to be kitschy, cool, so cheesy, it was over the top. And I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. I was thinking it would be more like People Under the Stairs, seen that movie.
1,000 times.
The Evil Dead series as well.
Army of Darkness. I hear you, sister. Ms. Ellingsworth, any parting thoughts, comments, concerns, questions?
If you haven't seen Cat People, you should see it. It's as great when you're 36 as it is when you're 13. That's all I'm going to say. I think it's even better.
Thank you very much for this contribution to
Always
Kashi.
Pleasure.
And I hope to have several more from you. You can read her pieces
at DelawareBeachGuides.com.
DelawareBeachGuides.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can read Jen Ellingsworth's musings, and she is a fantastic editor.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jen. Take care. Thank you.
All right. You too. I'll talk soon.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat?
Pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose. What's new, pussycat?